Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart, and you're listening to Conscious Connection. I'm very excited to have our author, guest, and dear friend of mine, Francesca Mason Boring, today. She's a bicultural author, international facilitator of Constellation. She also teaches and certifies people. Plus, she's a lecturer, and she's just amazing to be around. We just shared a conference in San Diego just a few weeks ago, and it was just absolutely wonderful to be in her presence, plus do large group work, which is her expertise. So let me get her on the line now so we can talk to Francesca directly. Her new book is Family Systems Constellations and Other Systems Constellation Adventures, A Transformational Journey. So let me get Francesca on the line here so we can talk to her directly about her new book. Hello, Francesca.
Hello, Gary. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Wonderful to speak to you and have you on again. I think it's been about a year, so I know you've certainly been busy with all your trainings and traveling all over the world here with the Constellation work that you do.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see the work growing. It's really beautiful.
Yes.
And I also want to congratulate you on your new book, The Master Your Universe, How to Direct and Star in Your Own Life. I'm really looking forward to reading it, and I've ordered it, so thank you for that.
Thank you so much, yeah. It's a different take on Constellations, that we all come from a dysfunctional family home movie, so I felt the American audience would absorb that a little easier than the way we talk about the work.
It looks great.
But I
look forward to it.
So I think other people who know me know that I'm a facilitator and you're a world-renowned facilitator, so I don't think we have to digress into every detail about how to set up a constellation or anything, but I think we can do the meta thing that you could certainly cover in your book. I was reading it, and all you cover everything, so it's so wonderful that it's so expansive with
mm-hmm.
all the ways constellations can be used, whether it's in nature or also, you know, with some of the wounds, veterans and different things in our own family system known as the United States here, not
right.
to mention indigenous people either.
Right.
So what most inspires you about family constellation work?
I love that it is so accessible. I really love that. In accessing what we refer to as the knowing field, and some people
yes.
call it innate wisdom, some people call
mm-hmm.
it intuition, but that what is really foundational in the work is trusting how much we actually know and how much our souls and our family souls really gravitate toward healing. And I really find that I am so encouraged by this work because it looks at the capacity that we have as human beings. Rather than looking at the deficits or focusing on pathology, that the focus really is this incredible capacity that we have for knowing, to a degree, mm-hmm. what we need, and for really having this maybe the way that a helium balloon always rises,
yes.
that we really have this sort of impulse to be going truly in the right direction. And so to somehow get into that flow of love, this sort of place that our soul really wants to be and the place that our family really tries to gravitate toward, that I really love, that it trusts what's innate and what really is best and strongest and most beautiful about human beings.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, we do have our dark side. Not to.
Oh, sure.
Star Wars is being released soon. We better talk about those forces that get awakened in us, too. Because what I find in families as well is the challenges of the darker aspects of the family, the rejected, the excluded, really come to the forefront in constellations.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that's so incredible to me is that often, if, for instance, we say the dark side, that's a subjective
yes. mm-hmm.
kind of a title or a name. But
yeah, yeah.
when we really look at the work and we really see what did that come from,
mm-hmm.
what's so astounding is that it really comes out of love. So one of the things that I talk about that I've started to look at is, for instance, culture, that in many cases as I start to look at it, although we have cultural tensions and cultural differences, in fact, it really seems as though culture was nothing more than, or I don't want to diminish it, but it really, one of the functions of culture is that it seems to have been sort of a family handbook for survival. So a particular group is together and they say, we really want all of our children to survive. We want all of our families to be happy. And so we'll construct these rules because in our world, it seems as though this gives them the best chance.
Yes,
of course,
absolutely.
It means that there are also things that we determine that are on the perimeter that might not be safe for that family or might not be safe for that community, might not be safe for the individuals. And that's where the dark side or the punishing or the exclusion comes in, that in the best interest of this culture, the survival of the individuals, the happiness of the families, different bodies, different groups seem to have determined that for this or that reason, folks need to be excluded because we're really looking at what assures our survival. So the translation of that in constellation work is that we really start to see that even the most horrific things, very often, if we look at what we do call the dark side or what we call negative or what we call judgment, if we really look at the seed or the beginning of that horror or, pain, that it really came out of love and it came initially out of some impulse for survival. Not that there aren't exceptions to that, but very often it really was the group's best attempt to assure survival of everyone. So that also is something that's different, that when we look at things in a systemic way, for instance, when we look at child abuse, there's not anyone who would say that's a terrible, terrible thing. But when we look at that, as terrible as it is systemically, what we start to see is, in context, it's someone adopting very often the very same parenting pattern that their parents had, and perhaps their parents before them and their parents before them. So when we really start to see under all of those things and the definitions of culture or the individual family's impulse for survival, when we look at really the deep water and this movement toward love and toward healing, that seems to be the place that everyone is able to go through constellation work. And I think through a number of other energy medicines and energetic modalities, there really is somehow touching this deep knowing of how it is that we come away from these different cultural paradigms or individual judgments that separate us rather than bring us together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I find is, you know, adversity makes us stronger, and even if that occurs in our own family system, what I notice with severe abuse with clients that I work with is there's actually a deeper love that almost the people that are suffering within the family are willing to carry that for their parent, for whoever the familial perpetrator may be, and we always tap into the deeper love. And one quote that I have, it's not quite famous yet, is every perpetrator was a victim first. And I find that cycle just keeps repeating itself very often in family systems.
Isn't that incredible? Well, and don't you think, or isn't it a relief in a way? I don't know of too many other modalities, perhaps some Eastern philosophies, but one of the things in constellation work that I think is so helpful is that there is this acknowledging destiny, so that we really do look at where are the things that happened that might have had really incredible impact, but that were just part of a bigger picture. So if, for instance, a parent was not able to bond with their children or wasn't able to really be warm or connected because they had been involved in war. That really is a destiny. It's not that someone said, I think I'm going to be involved in a war so that I'll have difficulty connecting with my family and my children. It really is this terrible something larger that says this is just what life decided. That life said you would be born in this particular place at this particular time, this particular ethnicity, and those things are not going to change. And some of those things have a huge effect, but that is destiny. And so that this work encourages and supports being able to embrace or hold, honor those things that are destiny, which is so much bigger than we are.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And ultimately, what I find also is, you know, life has one goal, and that's to move forward. You know, it's challenging as everything is to us. Sometimes I view life as very amoral, and it really doesn't care either way. It just wants to move forward in the best way possible, and it will find every nook and cranny, whether it's to gather food, to survive horrific circumstances. There's kind of a testament of will just to be alive in and of itself, you know, and keep going until it ends, which is innate, I think, in all living creatures, not just human beings.
Right.
You know, our survival mechanism.
Well, when you say that, that really is that there was, I was aware of a family that there had been an adoption really to prevent starvation of a child. So in some situations, and we have lots of situations where really there's an option for a child to starve to death or to be given into another situation where someone will be able to feed the child. I think that really in the United States we have lots of remnants of that, in that there were a tremendous number, we don't remember it in context, but there were a tremendous number of really young people who were essentially sold as indentured servants, who facilitated the survival of the rest of their family that stayed in their country of origin, and also who provided some food by their purchase, essentially. And what occurred to me, it was really so much in keeping with what you're talking about, the life wanting to move forward. What I really became aware of was there is, if a mother has a child who's starving, one way that a person can be a mother is to hold the child while the child starves. And another way to be a mother is to give the child away so that the child won't starve. And so I think neither one would I ever dare judge. But it just really impressed me how much that's one of the illustrations of destiny, and how much when a mother does take that painful choice of giving the child away, that that really is that life moving forward. Despite pain, really life moving forward. And so I think in constellation work, we have this really amazing gift to be able to, for maybe one of the first times, start to look at things in context and start to really see the whole story, not just the child who perhaps says, oh, my mother gave me up, and not really having the context or the the depth of what's implied in that or what that really means. And so to be able to hold the hand of destiny and see that this, I love that phrase that you used, this impulse of life to move forward, really is a part of our family, and it's a part of our family system and a part of our story. Thank you for that phrase.
Yeah. I'm always trying to be on the cutting edge myself. So, and it's what I see too. And a lot, you know, what I find is when clients have that, say, a client that was adopted or given away, they're so myopic with their own pain about feeling abandoned or rejected. Mm-hmm. The beauty of constellations is we get to see that context through the use of representatives and the larger forces at work for that to be the best outcome for the client. So what I love is clients start to have more compassion and they see the much bigger picture because they're so focused on one thing, I was rejected. They don't see that they're alive because of what they perceive as that rejection.
Right.
That's great.
Well, that's so humbling, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And and that's what I love. It's quite shocking for clients to see the bigger picture in a constellation, but in a good way that they say, wow, much more was going on. And, you know, us being small and receiving the true larger nature of the life forces that were at work to make sure we survived is awe-inspiring.
Right. Something else that I really think when you speak about the kind of perspective that clients are able to experience when they see a constellation, when the whole picture is seen, one of the things that I also really appreciate is that the idea of people moving forward, it seems that people are then so much more free to really fully live their lives and to really engage with life. Because when folks are really focused on judgment, when my life, 25 years of therapy has been focused on judging my parents and what they did wrong and how they've messed me up, when that's really been my life's blood and my breathing and most of my greatest investment, when that has been such a focus, one of the side effects of that or one of the companions of that is that I, at some level, really hesitate to fully live my life because, God forbid, I would make those kinds of mistakes.
Right, exactly.
And so I think when people are so entrenched on the one hand with judgment, on the other hand, there's a real hesitation. How do I dare to move forward and not be subjected to that kind of judgment by others or even by myself? So one of the things that I think is so beautiful and freeing is when someone does a constellation and they see the whole of the context and there really is no longer anything to judge. When I see the full context, the whole story, it's sometimes really impossible to spend my time in judgment anymore, at least to the degree that it's my primary focus. And at that point, it seems as though people are able to sort of let fall off of their back something that has really held them back. And when I can see this person was just living their life, this was just their situation, their, you know, their pain, their limitation, then I'm somehow able to say, you know, they did the best they could, and that's what I'm going to do as well. So
right,
I love
exactly.
that there's some kind of lifting and some kind of open door in terms of what people are able to do with their own life after being exposed to constellation work.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to touch on, especially where we just completed Thanksgiving in the United States, about your Native American background and how Native American philosophy has influenced your writing and your teaching.
Very much so. And I think, again, it's another place where I'm really aware that there is not just one paradigm in the United States when people talk about Native Americans. Many times there's not a realization that there are probably, I think it's in excess of 500 different tribes, major tribes in the United States. And many of those cultural paradigms to some degree are quite different interpretations, metaphors. One culture might see an owl as a kind of a predictor of death. Another tribe might see an owl as an indicator of wisdom. And so I think that when I think of Native Americans, one of the things I'm very aware of is that it's really many different tribes and many different aspects of belief and practice. However, there are a lot of things that are very familiar to most indigenous communities, and I often talk about universal indigenous, that we all originally came from the tent, and so the roots of being really part of the earth, that's in all of our DNA. For some,
right.
It might be more distant, but it's definitely where all of us come from. But
mm-hmm.
But yeah, Thanksgiving is, I have some family members that call it Thanks-taking, and and there are others for whom it's very very comfortable to celebrate the festivities and the thought of really having every day, and this being just one of them, where there's a real recognition of family and community and particularly gratitude. I think that that's one of the fibers of most tribes and most indigenous societies, that there really is a difference in terms of the saturation or just the constants of gratitude. So I think that that's one of the things that with Hellinger being exposed to the Zulu people and having some of family constellation influenced by the work that he did with the Zulu and seeing the Zulu people, that there was that observation that some of us talk about, that he noted that in that particular culture, there was this awareness that we do come from our parents and we do come from our ancestors, and that's a gift. And so no reason for me to stand in judgment, because they already gave me the biggest gift I could have, which is my life. And what I do with the life is my responsibility. And that was quite different than a Western paradigm that's sort of looking at, you know, how am I in terms of how much my parents did or did not make mistakes.
Right,
and so this paradigm of really remembering that the gift is life and the rest is my responsibility, that's quite different.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think in the United States.
I'm sorry. It's very liberating, too, for people to feel that they're free to make their own choices and go forward.
Yeah.
And enjoy
yeah.
the gift or, you know, change the world for the better with that gift, you know, whatever they decide. Well, I want to definitely talk about your new book here, which I have right here. So in what way do you think of the book here, Family Systems Constellations and Other Systems Constellation Adventures, is different from your other books? You've written quite a few here, which will be on the post on Blog Talk, so people will see them on Amazon and elsewhere.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Gary. I really appreciate it. And you have to be really one of the most generous people in terms of your heart and the way that you give people opportunities to share. And I really thank you for that. Really different about this book in terms of the things that I've written. Certainly other people have been aware of this for a long time, I'm sure. But what is different is that I have in one of the chapters in particular, I compiled a number of resources that really speak to the efficacy of constellation work. So there actually is research that's been done in Germany that validates the efficacy of constellation work. There's more research that was done that validated the accuracy of representatives in constellation work. There's some tremendous work that's been done by a wonderful physician by the name of Daniel Benor, and he looked at 61 different research projects that focused on healing at a distance, because, you know, we often have folks come to a constellation and lo and behold, they go home and other people in their family who were not present are positively impacted. This just happens everywhere. So Dr. Benor is familiar with constellation work. That's not his primary focus. He's a physician, I think, in Canada and the U.S. But he looked at 61 different research projects that verify healing at a distance. He also looked at an additional 120 that verify healing at a distance, but he's got a wonderful analytical mind. And in 120 different research projects, he could find particular things that could be questioned in terms of the construction of the research project. So essentially, it was clear that healing at a distance, it's been proven. It's not a theory. It's not fringe. It's actually been so proven that one begins to wonder, why is this not part of medical school? Why is this part not part of basic understanding? And we have it as a something sort of as a fringe element in terms of, but it's a fact. And in addition to that, there are a number of other, looking at some of the work of a wonderful person, Sarah Payton, who's looked at the neurophysiology of constellation work and how impacted people are by simply having presence in terms of what happens to the brain, the amount of healing and the amount of shift that can occur with the kind of presence that we really teach and really emphasize when we are facilitating constellation work, this way of just simply being with someone. Many people also have mindfulness practices or other things that support that. But not to go through every single one of the different verifications, but there's actually a tremendous number of research projects that have been done. And what startled me a little bit was to sit at the end of looking at all of this research and to say, there is nothing fringe about this work. And all of these different aspects have been proven. And how is it that even some people facilitating the work don't know it? How is it that other mainstream medical modalities have been able to put those types of healing phenomenon in a questionable light? And so that's why I have the chapter called The Emperor Has No Clothes. And so what I look at and what I talk about respectfully is that we need to be able to really articulate and to understand that what we see in family constellation work and these shifts and this connectedness that we have to our ancestors, this is, it's a fact. So there's also research that's been done on people actually having improvement in test scores when they have thought about ancestors, much more than if they thought about a good friend or if they thought about something pleasant. When they thought specifically about ancestors, their test scores, their cognitive function improves. So, thank you for giving me the opportunity. There's a lot that talks about the expanse of constellation work, how it's continued to grow, some other, I hope, enjoyable stories and inspiration in the book as well. But you're right that I think that Native tradition does influence my writing and who I am. And so some of those elements are definitely in the book as well.
Yes. Well, we're nearing the end. It's the last 2 minutes. This will have to be continued in the new year for sure. So how do you like to be contacted, Francesca? And I will, I can't believe our time is almost up here. For this one, we'll definitely do it again. There's a lot to cover, and it's a fantastic book, so I'm happy to do another one on it. How do you like to be contacted? Well, your book is on Amazon, number one, and we'll have the title of the book on my share, Family Systems Constellations. And how do you like to be contacted if anyone's interested?
Thank you. Definitely to see the workshops, upcoming training in 2016, which will be in Seattle. Those are on my website, www.allmyrelationsconstellations.com. So relations and constellations are plural, all my relations. constellations.com. And folks can email me at Francesca, FRANCESCA, at allmyrelationsconstellations.com.
Great. Fantastic. It's so wonderful to talk to you. This is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I've had a fabulous interview with Francesca Mason Boring, who's a dear friend and peer. And we're talking about her new book today, Family Systems Constellations. And I will have the live links to Amazon and your contact information on there, Francesca, so people can listen to this and go get the book and contact you and look at your beautiful website as well.
Gary, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I can hardly wait to read your new book. I love the rest of your writing, so I'm sure that I'm going to be really well satisfied, and it's a great thing to have this winter.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think you really enjoy it. I put my heart and soul in everything I do. So until next time, Francesca, we will continue with this book. There's so much there, really needs a second show. Okay, sweetheart?
Okay, Gary, be well, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much. This is Gary Stewart in Conscious Connection. And for all those listening out there, namaste.